My name is Robert, and I'm an alcoholic.
Robert!
I'm a proud member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
And, yeah, wow, man. Like, it's funny because I was just... Wait, Sergio, I need those notes you took. I didn't come prepared. Gotcha. When we were looking at the speakers for the retreat, you know, there was Steve and John were bouncing ideas, options of you know, and there was they were all good, you know, and he was like, well, you know, what do you think? And I said, man, I could live with any of that lineup. Like, I think that's an all-star lineup, whether it's these guys or those guys. And he goes, yeah, but you know, I really want to hear you, you know, and my brother does too, and I want to thank you for the opportunity and let you guys know that this is the perfect amount of men that I would have chosen to share with and to do service for and to share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. Had you asked me, who would you like to be sitting with you? So I thank you guys for being a part and doing your part. Because that's what this program is all about. One man doing his part to help another sick and suffering alcoholic. And if you think it's anything else, then you're wrong. Got a couple of things that I wrote down, and guess I'm going to take you on a spiritual roller coaster. I do want to have a disclaimer. This is going to be a session where most of you that came in here spiritually fit will gain some weight and will probably have to use some of that fitness in your spirituality to tolerate the presenter talking about spiritual growth and faith. And I love that because I'm not an expert, nor do I govern. My only purpose is to serve. Someone else said that from up here. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. So there's some things I wanted to start. You know, I want to begin with a prayer. I want to acknowledge that fact that those of you that want to talk about who you believe in and what you believe in is okay by me. If you pray to the universe, if you pray to anything that you do to get better is okay with me. But this is how I pray. And so I only know my way, and I'm going to start with that. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing that prayer in that jail cell when I cried out to you, help. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you because you didn't just do what I asked for, but you did what you do. I want to thank you for the retreat leaders, for planting in them the courage and the willingness and the life in order to do this. And I want to say a prayer for the guys that are working here at this church, for the families that are represented in this room, and for any of us that just call upon you and ask for help. I just want to thank you because it's all I can do. It's all I have. May this time that we spend together be blessed and touched by your words. And may you give me something that I can share, because it's only in you that all is possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, faith and spiritual growth. It's, get ready, guys. You know, for this alcoholic, my spiritual journey with my father comes when I study his words. And it would be fair to say that there have been times where I have felt like I am in the fast lane or the express lane of that. And there's times where I have remained parked on the side of the road, stalled out, broken down, and not even willing to do the work that it takes to get back on the highway. That I just want to remain where I'm at, whether it's in that fast lane or in that embankment. I'm there, and it's the process of moving from the embankment to the fast lane, or from the fast lane to the embankment, that most of you guys actually observe when you look at me and you see my life. You know, I'm doing great things and I'm making terrible mistakes, and then I'm doing great things and I'm making terrible mistakes, and then it's all about the journey, and really it's all about a walk, right? So I say my father because I don't have a father. I had a man who, my father died when I was 1 year old. And I talked to my small group about the ripple effects of what that caused, because he was 19 and my mom was 19 and I was almost 2 years old. In fact, my father died March 22nd of 1977. And what happened was, it didn't really impact me, right? Because I was too young to be impacted by it. But it impacted everything around me, which became the environment in which I would grow in. So I really, you know, I got to thank Tim, and I got to thank Dave, and I got to thank Chris, and I got to thank Sergio, and I got to thank Corey and Miguel. You know, because everything you guys said led up to me last night looking at this retreat and asking the question of what am I going to say? But I knew that was how I wanted to get up here and talk, because I did not want to talk premeditatedly, because I wanted to experience the retreat. And if I came here with premeditation and prerequisites to my talk, my ego would simply enter that room way before I come in and would completely rob me of the retreat. It would be all about me. And I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And so I was able to enjoy all of you and take a bit from everybody. And it's very, very, very pleasing for me to feel a part of this and a part of you and to have a part in your life, even if it's once or twice a year when we meet at a retreat. And so when Sergio said, you know, close your eyes and what would you do? And again, sorry to my small group, because you guys kind of heard this, but some of you guys weren't a part of that small group. You know, he said, you talk to that six-year-old, what would you do? And remember that one thought and what you were, and it was good. It was like, remember what you were wearing and what you were doing. And I went back to my small group and I said, you know, that six-year-old, you know what I remember? I remember in first grade when all of you were allowed to come into the classroom every single day and the tables were set up with your crayons and your name and your everything. I was told that I would go to school from in here. And I would spend all of first grade apart. And it would go like that from 2 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 10 to 11 to 13. I was always separated. And in the separation, I was always able to watch you guys from the other side. So what do you tell that 6-year-old? There's so much to say. But I think the one thing we all want to hear is it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. And no matter what, God loves you. No matter what, God loves you. No matter what you call him, no matter what you feel of him or feel the lack of there of him, he created me. And he loved me. And that was hard. But it was necessary. So my question is to me, to everyone, I love these AA things that these words or terms or whatever. I wrote down what is faith? Like what? And I'm like Steve said, I like to think. I spend a lot of time thinking. You know, I got to thank again like that first grade and second grade teacher, because the second grade teacher decided, this is again my small group I shared, decided that I wouldn't sit in the closet. It was probably unethical to put me in a kitchenette while everybody else was in a classroom and not tell anybody that that's where I was. So the next teacher decided to put me behind a file cabinet in a desk that faced the wall with my back to the room, and gave me a box of things of the next grade level to do. And what my job was not to be proud of what I accomplished that day, and not to bring my assignments in my work, because I was a straight A student. My assignment was to, when I finished, go in the box and grab the next assignment, and to work on that next assignment, and not to get any reward for doing that type of behavior or demonstrating that I had the ability. It was just to go back in the box and do the next thing. So in second grade, I finished second grade and I did third grade behind a file cabinet with my back to a classroom. And that lady began the transformation of kind of how I could be smart, how I could become smart, how I could handle what I was doing and other things. But that, along with all of the other things that were going on in this alcoholic's young mind, it was crazy. I mean, I can let you guys in just for a very small amount of time, but to understand that and to understand how that beginning grew, I grew like a weed and just like a wild environment. I'm very smart, but never really felt the rewards of being very smart. And so that kind of deviated into some of my decisions. I always tried to outdo, outwin, outwit, out whatever, and never had consequences. And then all of a sudden I found consequences. And when they came abruptly, they came acutely, and they came impactfully in my life. I went from never being in trouble to being in a lot of trouble real fast. And I, again, learning all the time, I've always questioned everything, and I've always come up my own ways of asking my questions and trying to seek and solve those questions to where I can understand. And what I've learned later on in life is that it's not about if I can understand. The answer truly is, can I explain it to my 8-year-old? Because if I can't explain it to her when she asked me her questions, what kind of father am I? And so my question is, what is faith? And, you know, I looked up some things, and it was like, you know, faith is a strong belief based on apprehension rather than proof. And I'm like, okay, got it. So then can you please explain to me how I'm to find faith, hold on to my faith, apply my faith, put my faith in this? What does it mean, oh, you of little faith? And what did they mean when they said, Luke, use the faith? It was use the force, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. So these terms in AA, I walk in, as you said, I'm angry. It's not that I was angry. I was angry and I was scared. There's not one word in that emotional chart of all the smiley faces that explains exactly what I was. I was like the entire page. I was lost. I was absolutely lost. And all I knew is I did not want to go back to where I came from. At no cost did I want to go back where I came from. I had did an entire sentence. I like Miguel talked about, you know, when you finally commute the sentence, there is no, I did a serve all on my incarceration. I did not have to report or do anything. All I had to do was leave and don't ever come back. And so when I arrived here, all I wanted to do was never to return to where I came from. And I needed to figure out how, although I was released, I was still in bondage. You know, it's taken me 20 years. My release date was December 23rd of 2003. And it's taken me 20 years to finally have a conversation with Hal and say, you know what? You know what it feels like to still feel incarcerated and you've been released for 20 years? I'll tell you. Come with me as I go fill out a job application. And ask me how it feels when I have to check that box. Ask me how it feels when I can't explain that I have already served my time and paid my dues and I've done everything I can to try to defend myself from ever having to go back to where I never want to return to. And I have to validate that in a box. And ask me if I will be truthful when that time comes. When the consequences of being truthful may mean getting something or not getting something. And you'll understand what it means to be forgiven with bondage. And so, you know, I'm gonna try to explain to my 8-year-old what this whole thing of faith is to my best of my ability. And I said, faith is to me to act as if. To think as if by asking the question, what if? And to believe as if by using the belief of it's possible. So act as if, what if, and it's possible. And then to put that all together into one word is to try. And again, like you guys were talking, you guys didn't even know, Miguel or Corey, when you talked about, I heard exactly what I was writing, what I was saying when in your shares, right? So to me, my life has only been about trying. It's been about trying to survive. It's been about trying to get through the first grade. It's been about trying to get over on everybody. It's been about trying to get away from getting caught. It's been about trying to be something that I'm not. It's been about trying and 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 retrying and try again and try harder to the point where I was tired of trying. And then you said, oh, ye of little faith. And I'm like, fuck you. where, you know, my shoes are not harder or heavier than any of yours. They're just 48 years old. And with the experiences that I have and the way that I comprehend and understand those experiences and the impact that that has on me as I try to stay above ground and to do something with my life. And then when I walked in here, you know, I love what when Dave said, the newcomer, and I walked in here and you said, hey, you know, come on in, you know, you, those of you that were there in the beginning that said, come on in and try it this way. In fact, I'll try it with you. Try to meet me at a diner and we'll have some coffee or breakfast or we'll try to read. It was trying something again, but it was different. There was something different about this trying. And I wrote that one of the problems I have with faith is that there is a prerequisite for me to understand that word, and that prerequisite of faith is trust. And I trusted no one. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust my parents. I didn't trust the systems, the institutions. I didn't trust the processes. I was rendered trustless. And that was a requirement for me to try, is I had to trust somebody. And the only way that you could get me to trust was to prove to me every single other attempt that I had made had gotten me this far. Every single attempt that I had made to the best of my ability. And I love, we make that joke, right? Right? So your best thinking got you here. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, but that's not a period in my sentence. That's just a comma. Because my best thinking did just get me here. And if you hang on and you let me finish the story, you'll also see where that same thinking will take me and take you. And those that want to put periods in my sentences are just trying to outshine or out-narrate what it is that God has written already about my life. And we can't. And as soon as we realize that we can't do that to other people, we make one or two choices. We stop or we get away from them. Because we have no power over those people in their lives. You know, I wrote something because what Steve said to me today or to you guys about me today and what you guys and what Stevie said yesterday, you know, I had to go back and explain that I'm always seeking to learn that where I'm trying to do better. And one of the things I finally wrote is like, I don't know how to share the joy you give me instead of completely consuming. You say nice things to me and I just consume it. I don't share it. I don't reflect it. I don't give it back. I just simply consume your kindness and consume your energy that you put out there. And I don't know why, because I'm full and I'm content and I don't need to continue to consume at the same rate that I learned in the beginning. And so I want, and I will try to do different. I have faith now in things that I never understood. I have empirical evidence that having faith, acting as if, asking what if, and believing it's possible has radically changed the direction of my life. And I have not come out a winner on all situations at all times, but I have moments. And one of those moments, and I will tell you guys, because most of you heard it, and I'm sure it'll stop. I'll stop sharing it, but it's good to share the good news. And I think that's what we were asked to do. I was asked to share the good news. And in part of that good news is that that child that was incarcerated, that did everything that he could, you know, tried to do in one attempt, I believe that school was another tool in my recovery. And I believe that if I had got an education, nobody could take that education from me, and that I could apply myself in ways. And I tried to do it with alcohol, and in the beginning it didn't work. I tried to do it, and then I got, you helped me guys get sober. You guys helped me get sober, and then I continued on in school, and I believe that school is going to help me. And school has. There's proof that school, going to school. But in going to school, I assumed and I acquired a lot of debt because I didn't have money to pay for school. And so I borrowed money on my future. And this past Friday, I got the email that said my student loans were forgiven because I had worked for 10 years in an employment of public service. And I had made 120 payments consecutively on my loans. And because of that, I had qualified for a whole forgiveness of the amount. And it was a mortgage that I had took out on my school. And it now has been paid for by the process, by taxpayers, by God, by whatever you want to call it. And I've been paying it forward since I got into school. I've been paying it forward, and I continue to pay it forward. But it's good news to share that I don't have a debt. I laugh. Someone's like, "Well, that means you're rich, right?" And I'm like, "I don't have any money. You know, I have no money, but I don't have a debt. I don't have to pull. That's one wagon I get to cut off and leave at that stop." And I don't have to continue to build the wagons. And so when Sergio, when you were talking about yesterday, about when I was new in recovery and all I did was, I just did my routine. I just went here and I just, the George Foreman and the chicken and the canned corn. And, you know, I was a solo man. I was an independent man. I didn't even have a horse to ride on, you know, and I was light and it felt good. And then all of a sudden I decided I wanted a pony. You know, and I got a horse, and now I had a responsibility. I had to feed it. I had to take care of it. I had to make sure it wasn't overworked. And then with that, I grew and I stuff. And then I got a girl. And then I had her. And then I hitched a wagon to it, right? And then I had a family. And before you know it, I have a whole fucking caravan, man. I got like 9 things going on. I've got a food truck at the way, way back of it, attached to my caravan. And I'm wondering why I can't navigate through tight turns in life and why I can't get through things, because I've got 9 hitches connected. And I ask myself what it would be like to just have just me, just my boots, and sleep in the wide open. But I can never get that back unless I burn everything down or I leave everything behind, and everything attached to me is a part of me. And I'm a part of everything that's attached to me. And I'm not the greatest in here or anywhere. I'm just me, and that's mine. But all of us, I believe, have this same story or situation occurring. You know, and how we go from the guy who comes in who just can't stop using or drinking, wife ordered or court ordered or whatever it is, to the guy who, you know, he's not rich, but he doesn't have debt, but he's got a lot of responsibilities. How that happens for a collection of guys like us, I will never understand. I can tell you it happens one day at a time, and that if you keep doing these retreats, it's probably going to take about 25 retreats from now. And when you told me that it would take 25 retreats, So you guys, you know, and I say this because kindness and loveness and how much Steve loved me. Those guys, like, they love me. When I couldn't love myself, they love me. They love me more than the times than I did. They listened to things that I needed to say to them, you know, and they shared things that I needed to hear. And there was a time where I couldn't afford to come to a retreat. Couldn't afford. I was telling Mike, there was a time where I couldn't afford dinner at what's the Italian restaurant you guys go to?
Vignetto's.
Yeah, Vignetto's. Yeah. There was a time where I couldn't afford a cup of coffee when my card was declined at Dunkin' Donuts over there on Federal Highway at the Dania After Work Group. And I had to walk into the Dania After Work Group and take that coffee that they made, which isn't as good as the one that Paul made today. And I had to get that coffee and I had to sit down in my chair and realize that I wasn't worth $1.39. And you guys said, come all the way in, sit all the way down. It doesn't matter. We love you. We'll even listen and tolerate you for an hour. And if you want to go have a cup of coffee after, we'll pay for it. You want to go to the retreat? Steve said, I'll pay for it. I said, you can't do that. He said, do you want to go to the retreat or not? And now it's 25 retreats later. And I have no idea how this happened. But I know that faith and spiritual growth are a part of it. I don't. Like, right now I feel like I'm in the fast lane. On that road, that highway I was talking about with my creator. But I know as quickly as I step out that door, I could be parked in the embankment. And I could be spiritually and emotionally bankrupt over a situation. What I try to do is I try to realize when the traffic patterns are changing in my life that I might want to slow down or accelerate so that I don't end up repeating and having to try again to start over and having to be in that situation where it takes me to try harder to get back to just where I was. I love that this is the softer, easier way. Because hanging out in, you know, where I was and doing what I was doing and living the way that I was living, you know, I wasn't going to last. And, you know, now I have things to live for and reasons to stay above ground, even when I don't want to be, you know, and I'd also, I'm going to wrap up, pretty quickly. There's a lot of times where this will only last for the moment. This elation, this connection will only be but a fleeting moment of my day. And I still have 23 and a half more hours. And I'm learning to try to do things so that those 23 and a half hours aren't what take me out. And that there's some type of like smoothness, that it doesn't have to be just an elation and just a selfish absorption of energy. And then all of a sudden I'm fiending because I'm high right now on this. You know, I try not to get high on opportunities, but to be high on the one who gives me the opportunity and to stay connected and understand what that seek through prayer and meditation, what it is. I don't know if it means I'm on my knees or in my car. What I know is that I'm lost a lot of times throughout the day and I need to seek redirection. And a lot of times that redirection in my case comes in just a moment of just like realizing that the only reason why I'm lost is I've let my brain get out of control. And I can just simply like turn down the volume and I can find some sense of his existence and his presence in my everyday living. And then I get right back up to it, do it all again. Am I over? Is it okay to wrap, like bring it down? Okay. I don't know. I want to end in the prayer. Father God, it's if I said anything that anyone can take, let them know that it wasn't me, that it was you. If there's anything that anybody sees in my life that they want, let them know that it's you who made it up happen and that it's not me. And that if anything, I did everything in my power to try to cause it to be delayed or to hindrance its development, life. Lord, I want to thank you for this time, and I want to thank you for the ability to do this act of service, because it did feel good, Lord. And I want to tell you that it felt real good to be here and to talk about you and to talk about this topic and to be at the retreat with these guys. I pray for all of their journeys home. I pray for their journeys this week. And I pray, Lord, for their journeys until we meet again. May we stay connected to you and to each other. May we find a way, whether we go far away or whether we you know, live in the same house, may we just find a way that you can, you know, help us grow in our spirituality and with our faith. And may one day we be able to sit with you for a long time and ask you all the questions that we never got answered on this planet. And you'll love us enough to give us all the answers we sought. We pray for those that have left us too soon and their families that they left behind. And we pray for those that are working with those that are sick and suffering, that need your strength in order to do the work that you've called them to do. May we always be reminded that your grace abounds us no matter what we do, and that your forgiveness is always present. In your Lord's name. Amen. Thank you, guys.